First, we hear a lot about the Federal Election Commission in the news. Not surprisingly, we hear about them a lot during an election year. The agency first opened its doors in 1975, its job to enforce campaign finance law in U.S. political races. 2020 is a big election year, but there's a problem at the commission. There aren't enough commissioners. That means they can't do parts of their job. Our next guest joins us to talk about the challenges facing the agency today, why the commission membership has dwindled, and what potential impact it could have on the 2020 elections. Chara Torres-Spellacy is the author of the book Political Brands. She teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida, and she's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. Chara, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, give us a crash course in what the Federal Election Commission is supposed to do from year to year.
So the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, was a post-Watergate reform. Part of what was revealed in Watergate was a lot of different campaign finance crimes or bad reporting of campaign finance. And so it was set up to bring transparency of money in politics at the federal level. So one of the things that they do is they enforce campaign finance laws, and they require disclosure from people who are spending in politics, whether that's the candidates, political parties, PACs, super PACs. All of those entities end up reporting to the FEC.
What's going on at the FEC that there aren't enough of them? They're short of commissioners to run the place.
Correct. So the FEC was designed to be bipartisan. They have three Republican appointees and three Democratic appointees, pardon me. And you need four commissioners to agree to do anything. And right now, they don't even have four commissioners, which means that they have lost their quorum and they can do very, very little. I mean, the FEC is still technically operational. So, for example, individuals who would legally need to report their political spending still have to report.
Why, before we get into some of the consequences of the shortage, why, if there's supposed to be six of them, why aren't they being appointed and approved? Why do we have this shortage?
Well, the appointment is at President Trump's behest, so he can appoint or not appoint. And then those appointments have to be approved by the Senate, like any vacancy in the federal government. And Trump had vacancies earlier in his presidency, and he didn't fill them. And then the vacancies sort of started to pile up to the point of the last person left effective September 1st of last year. So we've had 6 months without a quorum at the FEC, which means that they can't enforce laws and they can't promulgate new rules.
So am I hearing you right? A Republican president, as we have now, is in charge of appointing even the Democratic commissioners, and vice versa, a Democratic president would nominate the Republican commissioners?
Yes. So it tends to be the Republican delegation in the Senate and the Democratic delegation in the Senate that suggests names to the White House to fill the slots on the FEC. But yes, every president could have the possibility of putting in Republican and Democratic seats on the FEC.
Chara Torres-Spellacy is with us from Stetson University in Florida, looking at the Federal Election Commission, what they do, what they can't do without enough commissioners, which they don't have right now. You can join in with your questions and thoughts at 800-642-1234. Chara, what kind of things do you need a quorum of commissioners to actually do when it comes to enforcing our campaign finance laws?
So, for example, if you wanted to impose a civil fine for breaking a campaign finance law. So, for example, when back when they did have a quorum, One of the things that they did is they fined a super PAC that had supported Jeb Bush in the 2016 campaign. And the reason that they enforced this fine against that super PAC is it had illegally taken money from a company that was controlled by a Chinese national. And that goes against the longstanding prohibition on foreign nationals intervening in U.S. elections. So when they have a quorum, they can, if you have four out of the six voting yes on a particular thing, or if you just have four commissioners and they all vote yes, then you can do things like impose those civil fines.
Is there a partisan gridlock sometimes, even when there's three of each? So three Democrats vote one way, three Republicans vote another, and that blocks enforcement sometimes?
That happens all the time at the FEC. So because of the bipartisan makeup and because they don't have an odd number of commissioners, the way, say, the Securities and Exchange Commission, that always has an odd number of commissioners, which means that that commission can actually function because you just have majority rule. And instead, at the Federal Election Commission, you have this even number of commissioners on a bipartisan basis, and that often leads to 3-3 deadlocks at the FEC, which means that they don't make rules that we need, or they will refuse to enforce the laws that we already have on the books because it just comes down to this 3-3 tie.
Now, with that possibility, and also now without this quorum, if I start a super PAC, and I won't, but if I did, can I just take foreign donations left and right? It's the Wild West and there's no sheriff in town?
Well, this is one of my great fears, is that because the primary regulator can't act, that might invite a certain lawlessness. Though there is a backup. So the DOJ has control over willful violations of campaign finance law. And on occasion, the DOJ will actually enforce campaign finance law. Like, you could ask Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, who is presently a guest of the state because he violated campaign finance laws. And it was DOJ that actually enforced that part of the law against him.
We're talking right now to Chara Torres-Pellissy. She teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida, and she's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. She's with us to talk about the role of the Federal Election Commission and how the agency's lack of a quorum could affect a big election year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the Federal Election Commission, what it does, what laws it enforces? Do you want to see more rigorous federal enforcement of the campaign finance laws still in place? Are you concerned about the ones that have changed and how that changed what money can go into politics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the Federal Election Commission, also known as the FEC, specifically about its role in our election process, how it's functioning today, and a current shortfall. There aren't enough appointed commissioners to run the place and do a lot of the enforcement of campaign finance laws that, in theory, the agency would do, especially in a big election year like this one. Chara Torres-Pellissy is with us. She teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida. She's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the Federal Election Commission, what it does and doesn't do? Do you want to see stricter enforcement of campaign finance laws when it comes to, say, foreign investment in American elections, contrary to American law or other violations? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Chara, we've talked some about foreign money coming into U.S. elections. That's one of the things the FEC might enforce. What other kind of things constitute violations in our current legal makeup?
So if you give a donation to a federal candidate that is larger than the hard money limits, that's a violation. If you spend in an election and you are not a green card holder, then that's illegal. Sort of ironically, dark money, which is money that's spent in federal elections but doesn't name the underlying donor, most of that dark money is actually legal. And this is one of the things that the FEC really could use their quorum for when they get it back. They really need to promulgate rules that require better transparency of where money really comes from that is spent in our politics. But they've had a decade to do this. It wasn't just that they lost their quorum and, oh, the dark money rule doesn't go through. They have never gotten their act together post-Citizens United to deal with the problem of dark money. And so as a consequence, we've had $1 billion of dark money spent in federal elections since Citizens United.
Yeah, Citizens United and the McCutcheon decisions were quite a while ago. And in theory, it's the FEC's job to take those decisions and put them into rule form. Is that right?
That's what you would normally expect. So sort of ironically, when the court has done things that are sort of more restrictive in campaign finance, often you will get rules from the FEC that sort of undermine those court rulings. And yet when we have these permissive rulings on campaign finance, they don't put in place the transparency that the American public deserves about where money in politics is flowing, which was, again, it was a post-Watergate reform. That is basically their whole job, is to make things more transparent.
Has there been criticism of the idea that, okay, we want people to enforce our campaign finance laws? The people we pick to enforce it are going to be there representing the political parties who are, you know, maybe trying to bend those laws to the breaking point in their own interests?
Well, there's always a fox guarding the hen house aspect of campaign finance law, but it's a little bit of an endemic problem, in part because we don't have philosopher kings who can run things for us. Everything is the product of elections and appointments by political actors. So you never really get the politics out of the way that we regulate elections.
Now, even when things are working as they should be at the FEC, are there Federal Election Commission agents out there sniffing out violations of campaign finance, or are they just kind of there waiting for somebody to report a suspected violation?
They are still taking reports of violations, and so, you know, if one of your listeners happens to know of an ongoing campaign finance violation in the federal elections, then they should report to the FEC, because eventually, whether it's with President Trump appointing new commissioners or whoever is the next president appointing those commissioners, they will fill these slots eventually. And then the commission will look back at what happened in the past election. So they'll look back at 2020 and they'll see whether people who were supposed to filed and were any campaign finance laws violated while the commission was sort of put into this, inability to act because of their loss of their quorum.
Now, there's another thing about enforcement of campaign finance laws. If we break the law in the lead up to the 2020 election, and it's not going to be reviewed or punished until 2021, and you don't do a do-over on the election after that, that seems like it might not be as powerful an incentive to prevent that kind of illegal spending.
True, though, if you have a willful violation of campaign finance laws, again, DOJ does have the ability in real time, like right now, to investigate those alleged violations of law, and if they find credible evidence, to go ahead and prosecute. So in one sense, we may have a delay in terms of the civil enforcement of campaign finance law, which is essentially what the FEC does. So, you know, when sort of more minor things are broken in the campaign finance system, they will levy fees and fines. But when there's a willful violation of campaign finance law, that's when it gets to the level of being a prosecutable offense that DOJ can handle. And they can handle that right now. Like, the fact that the FEC doesn't have a quorum doesn't stop the overlapping jurisdiction that the Department of Justice still has.
As we wrap up, Chara, as you mentioned, eventually these spots will be filled. Is there any indication that there's movement to do that in 2020?
I've seen no reporting to that effect. This is in the hand of the president. If he felt like appointing new commissioners, he could do it tomorrow.
Chara, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Chara Torres-Spellacy, author of the book Political Brands. She teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida. She's also a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. She joined us today to give a crash course in what the Federal Election Commission does and why it is short-handed in this election year, with apparently no prospect of filling the commission and getting a quorum to help with enforcement anytime before Election Day.